of perpetual sarcasm.
Whatever course we take, the ship will eventually cease to be a threat.
I concur,
Ison chimed in.
It's one ship. I recommend we let it go.
Mos Amida came to his feet in anger.
Clearly all of you are oblivious to the real danger posed by this group of privateers. We are not concerned about remote outposts or even important installations. The ship must be captured or destroyed because of the danger it poses to the Emperor's unchallengeable reign.
That is just the point I was about to make, Vizier,
Rancid said, when voices around the table had quieted. He was facing Amida, but in such a way that he seemed to be speaking more to one of the monitoring cams, as if aware that Sidious was observing and addressing him directly.
Imperial security initially stressed that the communications cache on Mercana could potentially be used to disseminate anti-imperial propaganda. Now, Deputy Director Isom fails to grasp that the intent of the dissidents may be to use Governor Tarkin's ship for that very purpose.
Raven-haired man's man, Director Armand Isard, was about to intervene when a junior intelligence officer seated at a comm board spoke first.
Sirs, sorry to interrupt, but we're receiving reports of another unprovoked attack in the Outer Rim.
Namchurios, Screed said.
Just as Governor Tarkin predicted.
No, Admiral,
the comm officer said.
Lukaszek.
It was General Tag's turn to rush to his feet. The scion of a wealthy, influential family, he was tall and thickly built, with a broad face defined by long, flaring sideburns.
Tag Co. has operations at Lukaszek.
We're in reception of a live holofeed,
the junior officer updated. Rancid had amplified an area of the star map and was gazing up into it.
They've jumped clear across the sector, inward of the Palemian trade route.
He looked at Motti.
Do we have any resources there?
Motti had a datapad in hand and was gazing at the device's display screen.
A small garrison of ground troops and a squadron of V-wing starfighters protecting Tagco's mining interests.
The holofeed is streaming,
the junior officer said. Above the table's inset projector, a holographic video of the attack resolved and stabilized. Centered in the field floated Tagco's city-sized orbital processing plant, an entire section of it engulfed by spherical explosions, the company logo effaced by melted metal. Quanta of unleashed energy were raining down on the facility, blowing chunks of it into local space. Drifting into view between the continuous barrage of beams were pieces of V-wing starfighters and prosaic ore haulers, one of which was falling toward dun-colored Lukaszek in flames, its ablative shields glowing red-hot. Farther below, clouds of thick black smoke were coiling into the smudged sky.
They've targeted surface operations as well,
Tag said, still on his feet and clenching and unclenching his hand. Ison glanced from him to the junior officer at the comm board in visible alarm.
Who's transmitting this holovid? Is it being sent live by an orbital facility? An outlying ship?
The transmission is arriving on an Imperial holonet frequency,
the junior officer said.
Yes,
Ison said,
but the point of view. It looks as if one of our own ships is the aggressor.
Screed and Motti traded worried glances. In the summit of the palace spire, Sidious sat back into his chair, folding his arms across his chest as sinuous currents of the dark side played through him, and as if he meant to contain them.
Have you puzzled out what is happening, droid?
He asked.
Yes, Your Majesty,
114D said, simultaneous with a further update from the junior officer.
Sirs, we have confirmation that the holovid is being transmitted by the Carrion Spike.
Sidious swiveled toward the tinted windows, behind which the sky above and Coruscant below were the color of ash. Narrowing his gaze, he reached out for Darth Vader, whom he sensed was observing the holovid as well.
Yes, Lord Vader,
Sidious sent through the Force.
You shall have your starfighter.
Moving with fierce purpose, Tarkin exited the Liberator's hangar command post and walked briskly along the dorsal flight deck, passing starfighters and ground effect vehicles as he closed on the shuttlecraft awaiting him. The Star Destroyer's massive overhead doors were closed, and the light on the flight deck was dim. The captain of the Liberator was standing at the foot of the shuttle's boarding ramp, a short man with grey hair and a meticulously trimmed beard. He saluted as Tarkin approached. "Sorry we couldn't be of more help, Governor Tarkin." Tarkin gestured in dismissal. "You're not to blame, Commander. You came when called, and for that alone you have my gratitude." The commander nodded. "Thank you, sir." Tarkin extended his hand, and the commander shook it decorously. "Are you returning to Belduron Base?" Tarkin asked. "No, sir. Coruscant has ordered us to jump directly to Ord Cestus." Tarkin's brow furrowed in question. "Why so far down the Palemian?" "Triage redeployments," the commander said. "As a result of what happened at Lukaszek, I suppose. The same at Centauri's and Lantilles. No telling where your... the missing ship is going to revert next."
"Perhaps,"
Tarkin said, and let it go at that. He ascended the boarding ramp and walked aft, settling into a seat in the main cabin. The Theta-class shuttle's only passenger. High overhead, the Liberator's hangar doors parted down the middle and retracted, and the shuttle rose off its skids on repulsor lift power, dropped its wings, and sped toward its rendezvous point, a pod-shaped support carrier named the Goliath, which had recently arrived from deep dock at Ord Mantell. Tarkin had a portside glimpse of bleak Nam Chereas as the shuttle angled away from the Star Destroyer.